2,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne. Part 1. Chapter 1. Sea Monster. The year of 1867 was the year of the sea monster. A huge creature that glowed in the water appeared from nowhere and rammed several ships at sea. Then it disappeared faster than a killer whale. Everyone was talking about it. What was it? Did it come from the bottom of the oceans? Or from outer space? Whatever it was. People were scared. They wanted the creature hunted down and the seas made safe. My name is Pierre Arana, Professor of Natural History at the Museum of Paris. I was in New York when the sea monster was first spotted. I was there to talk about my new book. I don't want to be boastful, but it was the most up-to-date book about life under the waves. And because I was an expert on sea life, the New York Herald asked me what I thought the sea creature could be. I said it had to be an unknown sea creature of great size and power that came up from the unexplored depths. The United States planned an expedition to get rid of the monster, and the Abraham Lincoln, the fastest ship in the U.S. Navy, was chosen for the job. I was asked to join the trip, together with my friend and assistant, Conseil. Conseil was worried about the fossils we had brought to show everyone in New York. "What will happen to them?" he said. "They'll be fine. Everything will be sent back to France," I said. "I can't turn down the chance of being the first scientist to see this monster. It will be a fantastic mission, even if it is going to be dangerous." The idea of danger made Conseil go pale. "Perhaps I should stay behind with the fossils," he said. "I'm much better at making notes on dead creatures than chasing live ones that bite." Conseil loved paperwork much more than working outdoors, so I dug the fossils up while he stayed safely at the desk, writing down what I had found. But Conseil did not stay behind. He was a good friend, and much too loyal to let me face danger alone. The captain of the Abraham Lincoln was a man called Farragut. He was an experienced and brave seaman, and no ship could have been better armed. We had harpoons and a gun that fired explosive shot. There was also a cannon that could fire up to 10 miles. But better than all our weapons, we had the famous Ned Land on board. Ned Land was a Canadian harpooner with a sharp eye and a quick arm. He was the best whale hunter alive, tall, strong, and cool. Ned was also the only person on the ship who did not believe in the sea monster. "Why don't you believe that we're looking for some kind of a giant whale?" I asked him. Ned grinned broadly at me. "A whale couldn't scratch the steel plates of a steamer, never mind sink it," he said. "But there are stories of ships that have had bites taken out of them by sea creatures," I said. "Wooden ships, maybe," replied Ned. "But ships made of steel? I doubt it. And I'd want to see proof before I'd believe it." Weeks passed and nothing happened. We went up and down the North Pacific for 2 months, but we saw nothing except calm, empty waters. Everybody on the ship became short-tempered and bored. We were beginning to look like fools. Where was this famous sea creature? "This is stupid," Conseil said. "We're wasting our time. This isn't serious scientific work. Everyone is laughing at us." "You're right, Conseil," I admitted. "We should have gone back to Paris." But at that moment, I heard a voice shouting out through the salt air. It was Ned Land. "Ahoy!" he cried. "Look out there. It's the sea monster."